This is episode 407, dated Monday, September 8th, 2025. Hi, everyone. Welcome once again to Sports Roundtable. I am Bob Branco. This is episode 407, dated Monday, September 8th, 2025. I am back after spending Labor Day with a couple of friends last week. That's why I wasn't here. Although I did hear the program and you gentlemen did a fantastic job. Thank you very much for keeping up the good work. With us today, so far, we have Mitch Pomerantz.
Good afternoon, good evening from beautiful downtown Pasadena. Mitch Pomerantz here. It is 88 degrees and clear, and we are told we're going to get some cooler weather by midweek, and that would be nice. I was out and about around the noon hour today, and it was pretty warm, even in Los Angeles, which is usually a couple of degrees cooler than here in Pasadena, but telling us it's going to cool off. But we're still dealing with a fantastic sports weekend and looking forward to talking sports for the next hour with you folks.
All right. Well, here we have the feel of fall, believe it or not. It barely got to 70 today. It's partly sunny, dry, and the temperature is scheduled to drop to 50 tonight, believe it or not. We got the feel of fall here in southern New England. Don Wardlow.
Yeah, we're getting the beginning of that in New Jersey, Bob, and by golly, it's a good thing, because Saturday my alma mater played their first football game, and it was edging 90. I mean, if they could have played that game today, they would have been a whole heck of a lot more comfortable than they were on Saturday when they played it.
And Reverend Michael Garrett.
And welcome to a very nice 89-degree Missouri City, Texas, where we're going to get down to 66 degrees tonight. So it's we're getting a little taste of fall here, too, and it's a dry heat. We don't have the humidity, but it'll come later on in the week, but we're going to enjoy this dry right now.
I do believe Luther King is on his way. I was told that Peter Alchil may not be on the program today. He has a prior commitment, but if either gentleman come in, we'll welcome them, of course. I want to thank those people who make it possible for Sports Roundtable to be aired and made available. We start out with Raymond Gay, our producer. Thank you for what you do. Along with our media outlets, thank you for airing us when you do. And Jacqueline Sylvia from JS Web Solutions, thank you for archiving our programs on my website. For those of you who want to check some of our back episodes, go to www.brancoevents.com. Arrow down until you get to Sports Roundtable Podcast. Click on them, and you will see most of our archived programs from latest to earliest. And if Peter were here, I know what he would say. He would say, merci, Jackie. And by the way, Jackie hears you, Peter, if you're listening. Jackie hears you. I asked her if she hears the intros. She says she does, and she appreciates that very much. I want to say hi to Trish, our facilitator for today's program, along with Chanel, our streamer. Thank you both for helping us out. And because we are being streamed live, let me give out my email address for those people who want to write letters. We depend on our listeners to let us know how we're doing, because that's what this show is all about, for you, the sports fan. So my email address is bobbranco93@gmail.com. That's all one word, bobbranco93@gmail.com. Well, folks, we had our first week of football. There's only one more game left on the docket, and that's tonight, Vikings-Bears. But if anybody wants to comment about any highlights from yesterday and from Friday and from Thursday, please feel free to do so.
I really wish they could do a on-demand of the Bills game against whoever they beat, 41-40, that was an astonishing ending. But football is the one sport you can't get on demand.
They beat Pittsburgh.
No, they beat Baltimore. Bills?
I'm sorry, you're right, Mike.
Sunday night game last night. That's
you're right.
That's the one.
What a game.
That's what I'm saying. I wish I could, go back and hear it, because
that was a tremendous game. But I don't remember if I made the prediction last Monday on this podcast or not, but I really loved what the LA Chargers did to the Kansas City Chiefs. And I had predicted that the Chiefs not only won't win the AFC West, but they will not finish second in the AFC West. I believe that both Denver and the LA Chargers are better. The Chiefs were dealt another blow. Worthy is out for some undisclosed amount of time. They don't even know how long it's going to take his shoulder to heal, and he may have surgery. I think the Chiefs' reign over the AFC West is at least done for this year. And I was very impressed with Jalen Hurts' performance on Friday, and the overall performance of the Chargers. I think it was fantastic.
Well, let's analyze that a little bit. Let's analyze Kansas City a little bit. You know, yes, Worthy went out first series, but KC has some problems in their offensive line, and I think we talked about that.
Mm-hmm.
Their running game was questionable at best.
Yep.
And they were getting to Mahomes faster than you would think. And so he got sacked a few times that probably in previous years he may not have gotten sacked. Herbert, maybe he had the potential, but maybe he's gotten a little better under the tutelage of
Harbaugh.
Jim Harbaugh.
Yep.
So, you know, that's an interesting thing to watch. But now you mentioned Denver. You think that Denver finished ahead of Denver,
well, that remains to be seen. Obviously, they didn't look like world beaters, to use that old term, yesterday against the Titans, but they're supposed to have one of the top three or four defenses in the league.
Right.
So, what I was hearing was that Bo Nix looked a little shaky.
Well, that's what I was going to say. The question is, will he have a sophomore slump? And that their success could hinge on that. Because I believe that if a team has a good defense, but you can't leave them on the field.
Mm-hmm. They wear it down.
You've got to have complementary football.
Yeah, but I think the other thing we all have to keep in mind, and it drives me nuts listening to sports talk, is what we all call the recency bias. We decide after one game that a team is either going to go all the way or is going to fade, and we all are guilty of it at some time or another. But one game, this is still really spring training for football, because
for the starters,
yeah, nobody plays in the preseason. So you know, we'll see about where things stand with these teams after week 3 and 4.
It's like the Rams-Texans game.
That was a snoozer.
Yeah, it really was. But a lot of those guys had not played in the preseason. A lot of the starters, Texans, certainly hadn't.
I like that term, recency bias. That's a great term when talking about fans living from week to week or game to game, making conclusions. As a matter of fact, there might be some recency bias with the Patriots. I mean, everybody last year pretty much was begging Mayo to put Drake May into games as a starter. In other words, they were all over Bissett. Let's get rid of Bissett. Let's put May in. He's the number one draft pick of the team. All of a sudden, May's being criticized. Oh, May don't have it. May help. Yesterday was only one game, so maybe there's some recency bias there too.
Well, see, and I had a particular interest in the Houston Rams game, again, because of fantasy football. Nico Collins did nothing, and he was my first draft pick. And Drake May was my backup quarterback pick, and he was my next to last pick. So I followed both of those games, and Collins couldn't do anything. Of course, he didn't have any of his supporting cast. Kirk wasn't there.
Nope.
But Drake May against a Vegas team that arguably has one of the poorer defenses in the league, he didn't do anything.
I don't necessarily think it means he'll be this way for the balance of the season. There's a lot of room for improvement, of course.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. Absolutely.
But apparently Vegas had a pretty good offensive showing, too. So
Well, I'm a Pete Carroll fan, and he wanted Geno Smith, and even though Carroll is known as a defensive minded coach, he's going to get the most out of his players. He's a tremendous motivator. I think he's the oldest coach in the league. He's in his early to mid 70s, but he doesn't act it. And he's going to get the most out of all of those players. And clearly he went into New England, and that's not an easy place to play. And he handled the Patriots. They handled the Patriots.
The other games to talk about. How about let's see, we have the Seattle-San Francisco game. That was an interesting game, too.
Yeah, I caught it. Go ahead, Michael.
I was going to say, which one was that where there was a record-setting quarterbacking? Was that Seattle?
I'm not sure.
What, Sam Darnold? You're talking about something Sam Darnold did?
Sam Darnold? No. Not Sam Darnold. I think I'm thinking of Geno.
Geno
Smith.
Yeah, Geno beat us.
The San Francisco game was interesting. I was listening on SiriusXM NFL radio, and what they do is they switch from game to game when a team is, especially the last few minutes of the game. And the 49ers, They have a problem with their kicker. They're going to be looking for a new kicker. He missed two, Jake Moody, and they were lucky to win, and they won because of a Seattle turnover. And everybody said, well, 49ers are going to lose. Well, they didn't, and they went into Seattle, and that's not an easy place to play either. But they really do have a problem with their place kicker.
But San Francisco had a bunch of injuries, too.
Yeah. Oh, they're really banged up.
they're really banged up.
I haven't heard what the situation with Kittle is, how long he's going to be out.
I don't know how long he's out. They're running back. They had to get new, different running back from make a trade. They had their receivers are banged up.
They have McCaffrey, though, still.
He's still.
Yeah, and he looked good. He looked good.
But he's kind of gimpy, though.
And then, of course, we have the infamous game on Thursday night with the Eagles and the Cowboys. With Carter and the spitting and all that jazz, which I don't understand why that was such a big commotion. But that's, rules are rules, I suppose.
The league says that they're tightening down on this, the taunting and all those kinds of things. And it's questionable as to, whether Dak's first spit was aimed at him or not. But he actually, Carter actually spit on Dak.
On Dak. You probably didn't see it. It was one of the last things I did before I got on the call. But Peter sent an article that talked about what's going to happen to Jalen Carter or what may happen to him. But the article talks about the incident and what precipitated it. So it's probably in both your inboxes.
I didn't have a chance to read it.
Yeah, I read it before it came over here.
I haven't read it yet, but I did receive it.
Yeah, and he talks about some of the history with Romanowski's spitting incident and Terrell Owens and all of that. And that's something they've really clamped down on since, I think the first one was Romanowski in 90, I think they said it was 97. So that's something that they want to make sure they clamp down on real fast. So Carter will probably get a 4-game suspension out of that, 2 to 4 games for sure.
A big fine. And they play Kansas City.
Yep.
That's their next game. But the other game, guys, I thought was interesting, was Pittsburgh and the Jets.
That was a close one.
That was a good game, you know, back and forth. It ended up, 34-32? I thought that was a pretty interesting game. And, you know, Rodgers says he was glad that he showed everybody associated with the Jets that he could still play.
You know, but again, and I'll say the same thing about Russell Wilson, neither defense apparently is particularly good. And I was thinking as I listened to the updates on that game, I was thinking there are a couple of guys in my fantasy league who will want to pick up another quarterback. And Thursday, when we have our waiver wire meeting, there'll be guys chomping at the bit to get Aaron Rodgers. And my first comment's going to be on Thursday, and Aaron Rodgers won't throw 4 touchdown passes in any game the rest of the year.
Well, interesting. Interesting. So we'll see what happens, moving forward to week 2. Of course, we still have a game tonight, Vikings-Bears.
We'll see if Caleb does anything tonight against Vikings. They're supposed to have a pretty good defense.
I have a feeling he might.
All right, Luther.
Hey, guys. But I do want to go back to something, though.
Go ahead.
If you are the Ravens, coming off that game where you were leading by 15, you should have had it up to 16 if your kicker makes the extra point, where the Bills have to go down and get 2 touchdowns and 2 2-point conversions. You're probably asking yourself, how many more bites at this apple are we going to get? I mean, I know it's week 1, but if you're the Ravens, this has got to be psychologically in your head.
It's
somebody pointed out.
Go ahead, Michael.
I was just going to say, somebody pointed out that they've gotten so close and it's been an interception or dropped pass.
Yep, or a fumble.
Yeah. So they've just been snake bitten when they should have won those games.
Buffalo's
in their heads.
Yeah. Buffalo's in their heads. Let me see. Buffalo's in their heads. Kansas City's in their head. Let's see. Basically the teams that are at the top of the table are in their heads. They're supposed to be one of those, but until they can find a way to exercise those demons of Bills, Chiefs, and whoever else that keeps being an impediment to the Ravens finally getting to a Super Bowl, are they really up? Can you really qualify them as that?
I've already heard a prediction from somebody that the Ravens could win the Super Bowl. I think it's too soon, but
I mean, look, I don't really put a lot of stock in week 1, but I do know, I think this. I think what we saw in week 1 basically makes crystal clear to me more than ever that if you're going to get off to a good start quick, you better have your starters play at least a few snaps in the preseason.
Absolutely.
Cause as you saw, the Packers, even without Jordan Love, looked good. Even with, you know, with the Chargers, even though they didn't have Herbert in a lot of the time for the preseason, both the Chiefs and the Chargers looked pretty good because they let the starters play.
So what was Joe Burrow's excuse? You know,
well, look,
everybody, myself included, figure he's going to be good for 40 to 50 touchdowns this year.
And
Cleveland's got a good defense, but.
But, okay.
They didn't look very good.
Let me put it this way.
They didn't look very good.
The Browns, they hung in more competitively than I thought they would. But the Browns, but in the immortal words of Juju Smith-Schuster, the Browns is the Browns. Their place kicker missed a chip shot field goal, which would have won them the game.
Yep.
Against the Bengals.
But Flacco at the helm, the Browns, that is.
Yeah, the ageless Methuselah, kind of like Charles Nagy? No, not Nagy. Morton. The guy that seems, in his 40s, it seems to pitch and seems to get better.
You don't mean Rich Hill.
No, I don't mean Rich. I don't
Rich
mean
Hill
him.
Rich Hill makes more sense, actually, Mitch. Rich Hill makes more sense than Charlie Boy.
Hey, right Bob, question for you.
Yeah, go ahead. Go ahead, Luther.
Is it me or your Red Sox kind of on the toughest part of their schedule?
Our Red Sox cannot hit for the most part, and everybody is blaming it. And here's the thing that really gets me. Maybe it's because I don't understand what goes on psychologically with the baseball team after something tragic happens, but everybody seems to be blaming Roman Anthony's injury for the team not hitting. I don't know.
I've always thought baseball and football and everything was a team game. It seems like we're getting more individualized than I can ever remember following sports.
Well, the point is it more than a coincidence that since Anthony went down, the Sox are not hitting? I mean, I know they scored 7 runs last night, yesterday afternoon, but before that, they scored something like 3 runs in over 35 innings.
Wow. With all the money and the contracts they invested in bats, they can only manage it.
What is the Dodgers' excuse against Baltimore and Pittsburgh? We got shut out, I think, twice.
Yeah, you got shut out twice by the Pirates, I think.
Yeah, I mean, Let me put it this way.
If the Pirates could ever get investments into some sticks, they would probably be in the hunt for a wild card or the division. The biggest problem they got is they can't find any bats. They're getting some pitching.
Yeah.
And I don't know if Don's here or not, but if the Pirates could invest in some hitting and not trade away their best players when it's time to pay these people, the Pirates would be in a much better position.
It's funny because they got McCutcheon. McCutcheon is still there.
I'm talking about Brian Reynolds of the world.
He's still there.
Key Brian Hayes.
Well, he got traded.
But wasn't he the one that got like that, what was it? That 4 or 5 year deal to stay around, and then then he just forgot how to hit and he got dumped?
He forgot how to hit.
Yeah.
O'Neal Cruz.
Yeah. But I'm looking at these standings and don't look now, but yeah, the Yankees are doing it with smoke and mirrors, but they're still in the thick of both the AL East and the wild card. Toronto's kind of come back to the pack a little bit.
And you know, the Pirates do have a couple of young fellas who would look awful good in pinstripes, and their names are Paul Skeens and Bo Chandler.
Well, keep in mind,
Pittsburgh never paid any people.
Keep in mind, Bubba Chandler was I remember him at Triple A Indianapolis when the Sounds went down to Victory Field and played.
Who would you give up, Don, to get those guys?
Good question.
I still say the front part of the Yankee lineup is
loaded.
Home run heavy.
The whole lineup is home run heavy. If the Yankees somehow either A, win the division, or B, get out of the wild card round, when they run into a team that has some pitching, that could be their kryptonite. Because, after Fried and Rodon,
when you go to 3, 4, and 5 in that rotation.
Warren,
maybe, depending on which Warren you get.
Heal.
Maybe. Louise Heal, maybe.
How about Clark Schmidt?
No, he had Tommy John.
And Garrett Cole's out too.
Yep.
Right. All I can say, gentlemen, is after the Dodgers winning the World Series last year with two starting pitchers,
who?
I wouldn't put it past any team with two or three starting pitchers to win the series. The World Series is more of a crapshoot than any other sport.
Let's back up a little bit. How about the championship series in the American and National League? Because keep in mind, just because you get out of the division series, you win that, say, you know, in 5 or in 6, depending on, you know, how many arms you had to use to get through that.
Well, you know,
how much are you going to have left when you get to the championship?
Mitch, you've just given me some hope about the Red Sox by making that statement.
but Bob, hold up.
Because
Bob.
In my opinion, right now, the Sox only have 3 starting pitchers.
But Bob, here's the thing though. Where your team's position right now, the second or the third wild card, look at Seattle. Look at the Mariners.
Yeah.
They have
one of the best starting staffs in the whole league.
But the problem is
they can't hit too well.
They can't hit. But here's the thing: look at the teams that are basically right on their heel.
Texas.
What about what? Texas, Cleveland,
Kansas City.
What? Tampa Bay, if I'm right.
Maybe Cleveland. Maybe
Cleveland's. Only, I think last time I checked, Cleveland was only like 2. I mean, it was basically the gap was like between a half game. And 2.5.
Cleveland and KC have a 4-game series coming up. Those two are within half a game of each other.
Yeah, and Texas is not that far out either.
And if somebody takes 3 or 4 in that series, sweeps all 4, and then
sweeps,
is on the losing end, you know, consider
a
golf game for October.
And keep in mind, the Padres have kind of skidded too. They're a game out in the losing, but they're sitting in the last wild card spot right now because I think the Mets
is welcoming Milwaukee in there, and that's not exactly the easiest team to.
I still believe the Brewers are still the best balanced team.
Oh, they're
hitting
definitely
and pitching bent. Wise, and I still believe they're the team to beat in.
But keep
in
mind, depending on who comes out of that wild card. If the Brewers have to match up with them at a best of 5, if the Brewers get pushed to the limit, if they get pushed to 5, for the Brewers, they need to sweep. Because if they get the number 1 seed, if you're the 1 seed, the quicker you can get out of a series, the better you can set yourself up. If you have to
I don't think there's any question Milwaukee will get the number 1 seed.
They have 90 wins already.
But here's the thing though. But Mitch, here's the thing. How many times have we seen teams get the number 1 seed, get pushed to a 5-game or 7-game series, and by the time they get to that next series, they're shot
skipping a step. What you're forgetting is, and I think it's a detriment in some respects, you're forgetting the fact that teams that get the number 1 and number 2
seeds.
Don't pitch. Their pitchers sit for 3 or 4 or 5
exactly.
days.
Exactly. And
that's not good either.
And that could be the difference between Milwaukee getting to where they want to go or not.
Mitch, do you like that setup, Mitch, where the number 1 and number 2 seeds sit it out for the first round? I don't really care for that.
Well, I'm even more old school. I don't like that many teams in the playoffs.
I don't know
why they do it.
Well,
I think it ought to be 4 teams in each league, and they all the 1 and 4 play 2 and 3, and then they play the championship and then they go on to the series.
Correct.
It's
like hockey now. I've said that.
I'm basketball.
Here's the thing.
And that's
hockey's all hockey. Here's the thing. when hockey went 1-8 on both sides, that means the number one seeds didn't get the day off. They had to play. Same thing with the NBA playoffs. If you're a number one seed, depending on what day you get, you're playing, you're basically going to be playing every other day or every 2 days, depending on how they, you know, slap the schedule. But the only two sports that I know of that play, that every seed has to play is the NBA and the NHL.
Yeah.
But Mitch, let's go back to your point about the pitchers sitting out if they're at number one seed. If they've pitched all season long, you know, maybe they might like to have that time off.
Sometimes they'll, you know, they will skip their top two on purpose so they can get that break.
You know, in this day and age with the fragility of pitchers, you know,
too much of it.
I know where you're going. I know where you're going. You know,
maybe some of them want that break, but I've heard more times than not, the commentators and the guys who broadcast the game saying he's not pitching well in this first game. He's had a week off.
Here's the thing. Here's the problem. You can't send them down to AAA to go do a rehab. Cause basically by the time you get to the postseason, guess what? Minor leagues are over. You don't have that time. So, I mean, if you're the number one or number two seed, I don't know what you do.
That's up to Major League Baseball to change their way of thinking if they choose to.
It won't.
You know, hey, Bob.
Yes.
Shall we open the beloved town at Florida for questions from fans?
Yep, I was about ready to do that. So if anybody wants to discuss baseball, football, or whatever they want to talk about, now is your time to do so. So let me ask Trish if she sees any hands being raised. This is your opportunity now, listeners. So go for it.
And I do see a hand, and it is Matthew.
Okay,
Matthew, welcome to Sports Roundtable. What's on your mind?
Hi, you guys. First things, I'm gonna be as respectful as I can. And, I've been listening to y'all shows for a while, and I have a very, very difficult situation here with, I guess it's the gentleman named Luther. I would ask, please, if you could please allow everybody to finish before you cut in. It's very hard to understand what everybody else is saying to make their point when you continuously cut them off and they don't get to finish. So if you could please do that, I'd really appreciate that. That's really all I wanted to say. Thank you, guys.
Sorry about that.
Thank you, Matthew, for your input. It's appreciated very much. Thank you. And if you want to come back later and talk about sports, we're here for another 25 minutes or so.
But I do wonder something, though, guys. When we look at what's left, is there a team that you guys see that could get one of the wild cards that could make a run? Not the teams that are going to clinch the divisions. I'm like, is there a team that maybe we're not talking about that could get one of those wild card spots and go on a run?
That's already in the wild card or on the edge?
That's either way.
I think that the Padres are dangerous. If Machado and Tatis start hitting again, and they apparently showed some signs over the weekend, they still have, at least on paper, a pretty formidable pitching staff. I was actually thinking the other day, there's a, it would really, talk about baseball collapses like the Dodgers had in 62. There's a scenario. I think the Mets were only two games behind the Padres for that last wild card. But there's a possibility. I could see if the Dodgers collapsed, Dodgers could even get knocked out of the wild card. But I think the team that I think is dangerous are the Padres.
Well, luckily for the Padres, I think they get a 4-game set with the Rockies, so that could help them.
No, their series, they open up tonight against the Reds.
Well, again.
We get the Rockies tonight for three.
That could help the Dodgers, but basically the Padres could almost eliminate the Reds if you want to know the truth about it.
I'll give you a team.
They only have about 40 wins, I think.
I'll give you a team, Mitch. You ready? And Luther, I'll give you a team. Arizona.
Arizona's going to have to pick it up real quick.
Well, they've won 8 out of their last 10?
Yeah, but the Giants,
over 500. The Giants are ahead of them. Bob, the Giants are ahead of them.
Yeah, but I got a feeling Arizona, the way they've been performing, they're going to pass the Giants.
Oh, maybe.
Well, I mean, right now, the Cardinals just took 2 out of 3 from San Francisco.
They took 2 out of 3 from the Red Sox.
Yeah, they did. Well, the Diamondbacks took 2 out of 3.
The Diamondbacks took 2 out of 3 from the Red Sox.
Mm-hmm. And they were at home for that series.
Yeah. Now they blew the team up at the trade deadline. They got rid of Keller. They got rid of Suarez. They got rid of Naylor. And you look at those top three in the batting order. Mm-hmm. Marte, their shortstop, I forgot his name, and Carroll. Those three can match any top three in baseball.
I don't think they have the pitching.
Well, they still have
Gallen.
Yeah, they got Gallen. I think they got, who else have they got? I'm trying to think.
Nelson.
They lost Merrill Kelly. Kelly's
to Texas.
Texas, yes.
And I don't think.
Eddie Rodriguez, for what it's worth.
And unfortunately, the Cardinals have a tough series in Seattle, and that's not going to be easy.
That depends on how Seattle is trending.
Yeah, that's true, too. I mean, that third wild card is going to be very interesting in both leagues.
Well, I wouldn't be surprised if Texas got in. I really would.
If they got in, I don't think anybody would want to play them.
The reality is there are no great teams this year. There just aren't.
Yeah, I was going to make that point too.
You're right.
Even Milwaukee, yeah. Mitch?
Even Milwaukee. They are better than everybody else, but I don't call them a great team.
I don't either.
Look at the records. All of the teams are, that are right at 78, 79, 80,
81, 82. Yeah, or 70, 71, 72.
Yeah, they're all bunched in there. And even the teams, I think somebody's like 72 and 72.
Yeah. And the Cardinals are 71 and 72. They're a game under.
Yeah. But
somehow
there are no dominant teams in the league. I mean, I guess Milwaukee could win 100 games. So
they could.
But how many teams? But here's a question though, guys. How many teams have we seen get to that century mark win plateau and yet come up short when everybody predicts them to be the favorite?
Well, you mean like it's happened to the Dodgers 2 or 3 times?
And Seattle?
Get up to, what year was that they got up to like 110 wins?
I think it was Seattle.
116.
Well, 1 year, the Dodgers finished second in the division with 111 or 110 wins.
Yeah, I remember that.
And remember
when Seattle was like, what was it, 116 and 46?
116 and 46.
Wasn't that 2001?
Something like that, yeah. And the Yankees beat them.
The Yankees beat them, but the Diamondbacks beat the Yankees.
And that one went the distance.
That year, Seattle got knocked out of the wild card round in four, I think it was 3 straight.
I think so.
Yeah, I think that was the year that, Luis Gonzalez bounced around and ended up back out at the Diamondbacks.
Yep. And he was the one that got the game winning single into center.
He looked like a little looper.
Yep.
Yeah.
And the Diamondbacks had one of the best 1-2 pitching tandems in the sport that year. Schilling and Johnson.
Yep. The only pitcher with a bloody sock. Kershaw.
Well, he helped the Red Sox win the whole thing that year for the first time in 86 years.
And Derek Lowe was closing.
That's unfortunate.
No, it wasn't Derek Lowe. It was Keith Volk. Derek Lowe was in the rotation.
Oh, okay.
You know, you're talking about Schilling. and we have learned subsequently that he really isn't a very nice man. Mm. And one of the things that I refrain from in sports is I don't want to know too much about an athlete other than his performance on the field.
Right. You don't want to know how he feels politically.
Exactly.
I don't want to know about their politics. I don't want to know about their personal lives.
No.
Because a lot of these guys who have spent their lives focused on being great, they're great athletes, but they're really pretty unpleasant people to know or to deal with. There are exceptions. And the one that I know about personally, although I never met him, Wes Parker, the old Dodger first baseman, was the next door neighbor of my aunt and uncle's out in the San Fernando Valley when Parker, was making his bones with the Dodgers. And for years and years, Parker, and I'm not sure how the connection got made, but Wes Parker would come to Braille Institute here in Los Angeles, and he would spend an hour or two with the students there, with the folks who were attending Braille Institute.
You know, interesting.
You just knew, and unfortunately, I just never got the chance to go, but you just knew Wes Parker was a cool dude. He was a nice man. But for the most part, I don't want to know too much about these athletes outside of what they do on the field, because I don't want to be disappointed.
Does that include Travis Kelce?
Definitely includes Travis Kelce.
I think you hit it on the head when you're like, you don't want to be disappointed. It's like, you don't want to be let down by your personal heroes, by your fate, by your idols.
Or just by anything. I want to judge them on how they do on the field.
Exactly.
And, you know, I have this conversation with Donna, with my wife all the time about knowing too much about people's personal lives. And I say, I don't want to. The less I know, unless you're close friends, the less I know about your personal life,
the better,
the happier I am.
I agree with you.
It shouldn't go on social media like it does. That's the problem. Yeah. They crawl to social media.
And I'm not on social media. Thank you very much.
Mm-hmm. They put so much of themselves out there by comments they make, in interviews and things like that. So some of them, it's hard not to miss them. It's hard not to know what their personal life is.
Yeah.
And the thing is, though, guys, here's the thing. A lot of the things that you see is basically when the media, you know, gets a chance to talk to them, and it's like, they, you know, they'll put a picture of like, hey, you know, I interviewed this person. They had to put it up as part of a story. So at some point, it's going to come out anyway, whether they want it to or not.
And when I was in the game, I was expected to find out what I could about the players' personal lives. So I'm glad our audience mostly didn't feel like that, that they didn't want to hear about it, because that was, other than the cold, hard stats, the personal lives, what little I could find out, that was my bread and butter.
But Don, the thing is, with a lot of that, because you know this like I do, when you're doing, you know, pregame interviews with coaches, or, you know, shooting the breeze and talking to players, there are some things that you can, you know, tell on record and on air, and then there are some things that they want, you know, kept out of limelight, that they don't want told.
Okay.
Because they will clearly tell you.
You learn that very quickly if you want to hang on to your job.
Exactly. You better learn it quickly.
And in recent years, the Dodgers have had two stellar starting pitchers, both of whom turned out to be terrible people.
Sure.
Trevor Bauer and Julio Urias.
Right.
And if neither of them ever pitch in the major leagues again, that'll be just fine with me. And it's sad, both of them were tremendous pitchers, but obviously they had personal issues that they couldn't get past or couldn't overcome.
Bauer had a major suspension.
Yep. And I think he's still serving it. Or he got blackballed because
both of them got blackballed. Bauer is pitching in his second year in Japan.
Mm-hmm.
And Urias, the probation or the suspension ended earlier this year, but no one has touched him.
With a 10-foot pole.
With a 10-foot bat.
Same thing for Domingo Herman, the guy the Yankees had.
I forgot about him.
I never have forgotten because he pitched a perfect game only about a month before he announced that he was an alcoholic, and then things only went downhill from there.
And I haven't heard any more on the Cleveland Guardians pitchers
extended. It's been the suspensions
through the year,
whatever
now.
They're calling.
Yep.
Have been extended.
Oh wow.
Talking about Class A.
Investigating.
Class A
and the other guy.
And Ortiz.
So if Peter were here, he could probably better address this statement I'm going to make.
Mm-hmm.
But I think that athletes are different. There's a totally different mindset to an athlete relative to, you know, the average Joe Blow on the street or the fan.
Because
and everybody, you know, everybody's different. Everybody, but I'll make my personal assessment, and Mitch, you can understand this. When I run with the guys and the people who play deep baseball, it's a totally different crowd than the people in ACB.
Yeah, I bet it is. I bet it is.
And you know what, Reverend, to what you just said, the higher in up the ladder you go, the more different they are from us regular working stiffs. I will tell you, I will make an explanation if I may. When I was in St. Paul,
mm-hmm.
we had a guy, you'll probably all know his name, Matt Noakes. And he had to leave Major League Baseball. I won't tell you why, but he attempted to come back with the St. Paul Saints, the team I was employed by. And we brought him on and we had him in 98 and 99. There was a guy on the 99 team who also had some major league time under his belt. His name is a lot less familiar. His name is Billy Ashley. He was an old Dodger.
God, he was a Dodger.
Yep, and yeah. A Red Sox.
And the thing was, those two, Matt and Billy Ashley, spent more time hanging with each other, talking about things that we regular schmucks like me don't know anything about. Like Matt had a private airplane. They'd talk about that. They'd talk about sports cars. Billy Ashley was a big sports car nut. And they were so much different from the other 23 guys on the Saints, most of whom would talk to my partner and myself just fine. Noakes even would once in a great while. Ashley never would.
Noakes, didn't he catch for the Tigers?
Yeah, he was a catcher.
Tigers, yeah. Yankees, but off-field, not even anything he did, but an off-field situation he was entangled in, you know, got him out of Major League ball. And my boss, Mike Vec, brought him back in 98 to join the St. Paul Saints, and he had quite a career, even after he couldn't play anymore, managing in independent ball, and he was still managing for a team in Joliet the last time I ever heard about him. I don't know today, but that's the
John, last time. John, I'll go one step further. When I went to work for the city of Los Angeles in 1975, the mayor was Tom Bradley. Tom Bradley was a great mayor. I actually got to meet him on a couple of occasions. Tom Bradley's daughter was a serial shoplifter. A lot of people, a lot of the people, regardless of whether it's sports or politics or becoming a corporate executive, you are so focused on reaching your goal that other parts of your life, you just sort of, you don't pay real close attention to them. And so your kids may grow up to be shoplifters, or they may grow up on your coattails. I'll tell you a quick story. The woman who does some work for us knows Mike Tyson's son, and she's seen him on several occasions. He's 32, or he's in his early 30s.
Yeah.
He's never done anything for himself.
Right.
Tyson didn't want his kid to be lacking anything. He has asked our friend and our part-time employee, how do I do laundry? How do I do this? How do I do that?
He's in his 30s.
Yes.
Presumably he can see.
You know,
this is something I learned in my high school years, because my mom said, even if you're lucky enough to marry, you better know how to do your own laundry. And she was right, because the woman I married wouldn't have done my laundry for me.
But I mean, the point is that so many of these driven people, whether they be athletes or in some other profession, they strive so hard for that. They're single-minded, and everything else just sort of goes to Hades.
Look at Mickey Mantle's family. His one kid was, at least one, was an alcoholic, and there were others. His wife, I think, had some issues, and why not? Because he was running around on her constantly. So his family went to pieces. Dwight Gooden, I just finished his book, and it turned out his son, Dwight Jr., was in the same jail with his pappy at some point in 2005. So these things can happen, Mitch.
Yeah.
And the strange thing,
I know our time is getting short, but I just wanted to throw something out for us to keep watch of. Two of our guests, our broadcast guests from Duke,
David Shoemate,
and WKU,
Randy Lee.
Yes.
Yeah, their teams lost this past week.
Yeah,
Duke lost
to a very good Illinois team, and I can't remember who WKU lost to over the weekend. Yeah. I forgot.
But I thought about those guys when
about Carolina, Belichick. He had
and
lost his first game. I'm not sure what happened again.
No,
Hot seat.
The guy locally, I feel bad for, and, you know, I'm as diehard a USC guy as you'll find. UCLA lost 23-20 to Nevada, Las Vegas.
Oh, my goodness.
Deshaun Foster, talk about a hot seat. His jeans must be melting by now.
his whole body. Look, Mitch, his whole body's melting by now.
Yeah.
Oh, my Lord.
That one weekend? I mean, really.
That's a bad lot. By the way, Mark Stoops at Kentucky? Yeah, y'all hung in there with Ole Miss, but you still found a way to lose a game. And you know the folks up in the Bluegrass who are basketball crazy down there with Mark Pope. I wonder how much longer they're gonna, you know, accept mediocrity with Coach Stoops at the University of Kentucky with another 6-6 coming back to the Music City Bowl again. The Trans Perfect or whatever the heck they call it, the sponsor down here for the Music City Bowl. Before that new stadium at Nissan Stadium comes up in 2027.
Yeah, interesting. Well, we only have about another moment left in the program. All I can say about football is it's going to be interesting. I mean, people are already saying Ravens all the way. And what was said earlier about Kansas City, by the way, I agree with. I think Kansas City is on the downslide, at least for this season.
Well, here's the thing.
Especially offensively.
Here's the thing. Now that they lost their, I didn't see the injury report today on how long Worthy's going to be out
not,
for.
It's not known. It could be most of the season, and if he comes back, he'll still have to play with a shoulder brace. I don't know how you reach for a ball with a shoulder brace.
And they still have to wait for Sidney Rice to come back by week 7 or 8 when his suspension's over. But here's the question.
Everybody says they're going to get Tyreek. They're going to get Tyreek.
Something tells me keep an ear on week 9 on the Tuesday after week 9 or 10.
That's the trade deadline.
On the trade deadline. Because the Chiefs are definitely in the market for him. There are a bunch of teams that are going to be looking for receiving help, but I think a lot of teams are going to be looking for probably either defensive help, or if they're really desperate and their quarterback is not working out, don't be shocked if you see quarterback shuffling too.
Well, we shall see, and our time is just about up for this edition of Sports Roundtable. Gentlemen, it's been a pleasure as always. Peter, we miss you. We hope to have you back next week. And thank you very much to Chanel and to Trish for helping us out today. We really appreciate that. And thank you for those people who were listening. I'm Bob Branco. Go safe with God's abundant blessings, everyone, and have a good week.